to 2 Timothy 3. And in this trait of characteristics of behavior of the wicked, of men in the last days, in which difficult times will come, we come now to the scariest one. Verse 5. Holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, avoid such men as these. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the many who we've seen in our lives who mirror as best as people can, and not perfectly, but in a very effective way, the life of the Lord Jesus. And we've seen them and we've learned from them. And we're thankful for them. Lord, we also know that there is a counterfeit. A counterfeit teacher, a counterfeit preacher, a counterfeit Christian that look on the outside like someone we could hear and listen to and gain from, but on the inside is not the same. And it's something to think about, because, Lord, here's where we might really be blindsided and be knocked off our spot. But we must stand firm, so we're being warned, and I pray we would be. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll mention some name brands to you. Raisin Bran, Corn Flakes, Rice Krispies, Frosted Flakes, Sugar Pops. Notice I did not say Corn Pops. Sugar Pops, Sugar Smacks, Cheerios, Special K. You might think these are breakfast cereals that I was accustomed to having in my childhood. And you would be exactly right. That was what I remember we had. We also had puffed wheat or wheat puffs. But it didn't have a box. It was in a bag, so it didn't work for this illustration. There are two things about cereal. One was the cereal. Raisin Bran had two scoops of raisins in every box. And Wheaties, which I didn't mention, would, of course, make you into an athlete like Bruce Jenner and be on the box of the Wheaties. So that was the outside, or the inside. The outside had reading material. One of the things I loved to do as a child, once I could read, you know, and is you're sitting at breakfast and you read the box. The back of the box, you get free stuff if you do this or that. Or you read something about the Tony the Tiger. What is he doing right now? This is just because, I mean, you're there for a little bit eating and you're reading. So, I liked both parts of the cereal box, that which was inside and that which was outside. I've not eaten cereal in almost 3 years. But when we go to the grocery store and walk down the cereal aisle, I want it. I want cereal. All those boxes telling me what's inside. Snap, Crackle, and Pop even. And I didn't mention Captain Crunch. That was good too. I want that because of the inside. I assume that every box on the shelf has actual cereal inside. In theory, they could all be empty. But I assume that the inside is full. I mean, not with the Snap, Crackle, Pop guys, but with the cereal. And when I look at the outside, that's what I crave is the inside. And that's what all of us do. You decide, you know, you see the picture and you want what's inside. You don't eat the picture. But I have no interest anymore in the writing on the box. You can keep all your toys. I become more like the Lord over the years in that regard, is I just don't, I'm looking on the inside. The inside has to be good. I'm not caring anymore about what Tony the Tiger pen I can get if I turn in so many box tops. Or, you know, you can get this ink stamp of the Snap, Crackle, and Pop guys and stamp things. Why you would ever want to do that, I have no idea. But you could get that for so many box tops. Send it off to somewhere and they'll send it to you, back to you. If I remember right, generally they said to allow like 8 years for delivery. But if nothing's in the box, it's a sham. You're not only, it's false advertising. The cereal is the thing now. We don't care about the outside anymore. But the inside. If you think it's been scary so far in this list, men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. The scariest is now. Think about it. We're now to where something is happening, something is being declared that you might have assumed would not be the case in the things you read up to here. These are wicked, wicked people. These are wicked traits. And it'd be one thing if we knew they were somewhere else. If scientists find that there's a gigantic bed bug that's been found in beds, it's got to be in Africa, not here. If it's in Africa, we can say, I'm glad I'm not in Africa. But if it happens to be in Orangeburg, well, that's too close to home. And what we have now is something that brings all these things too close to home. We know all the immorality and the totalitarian pushes today, the cancel culture. People want to do things that the Bible says don't do, and the people want to keep you from thinking or doing things which the Bible says to do. And so there's an effort to cancel Christmas, Thanksgiving. There was a big push. I saw articles on a site I read online that talked about people pushing for un-Thanksgiving. Leave stuff alone. They should. Now we can't be thankful, because if we're thankful to God, well, we're bringing up all that stuff that happened to the Indians. Un-Thanksgiving. Everything is sought to be canceled. Things you believe, things you teach or say. If you don't go along with everybody else who decides what we have to all go along with, you got to be canceled. You don't believe in man-made climate change? Somebody needs to lock you up at least. But why is it just one side? Why can't I say, you know, this abortion thing offends me? This abortion thing, I'm against that, and it upsets me. And they said, well, we'll have to stop it then. It's the other way. If I say this abortion thing offends me, they say, well, you need to go somewhere off this planet. Why is that? Because society has adopted these traits. And one of them at the very top is that they love themselves. And they think only of themselves. And so everything is judged on the basis of that. I believe this. I think this. I hold to this. Therefore, you have to. It's because we've gotten more pagan. The longer we've gone and turned away from the Lord, we've gotten more pagan. So that's the unifying factor. There's a corporate self-love and an anti-God morality, and they push that on everybody else. You might go to the playground in elementary school, and you want to play softball. But for some unknown reason, 30 of your friends want to play tag. And guess what you're going to be playing? You're going to be playing tag. And on today's, in today's thinking, not only will you have to play tag, but you have to be shipped off to another country because you wanted to play softball. That's how it is. But now this says having a form of godliness. We're not talking about those people. We're not talking about those people out there who are way, way off from us. Having a form of godliness means they look like us. They say what we say. They claim to believe what we believe. In the old westerns, you knew who the bad guys were. They had black hats on. White hats were the good guys. Roy Rogers wore a white hat. Or, I thought it was, you know, nice in the Civil War that, you know, you had the blue and the gray. Is that a Yankee over there? Yep, he is. He's wearing blue. Okay, I can shoot him then. Yep. You had a uniform. And if robbers would wear masks before they get to the bank, and you can see they're going to rob the place. You got a t-shirt that says, I'm a robber. But it doesn't happen that way. Wickedness is disguised. And with all of this evil, they look just like a godly person on the outside. One of the most disingenuous things that critics of the church say is there's so many hypocrites in the church. Well, duh. Isn't that what this says? They have a form of godliness and deny the power. Thank you for your input. We can do without the comment because the Bible already tells us that. We're not claiming otherwise. And the problem is, of course, it wouldn't matter if it was a long way off. It's a threat when it's so close. If it's flooding in California, well, that's California. If there's a tornado in the Midwest, well, we're not there. Hurricane along the coast, we're a little bit away from that. But this is right in our backyard for Christians. They have a form of godliness. They look godly. They claim to be godly. First of all, how we are made. People and things have an inside and an outside. There is a form, and then there is what is inside the form. At one time, we have a saying that you won't buy a pig in a poke. I was not alive when that was going on, that I know of. Why anyone would buy a pig in a poke, I don't know. But what it means is you need to see the pig before you buy it. You don't just assume that, you know, it's in a poke, here's a pig. Or one thing I've caught is that people put a crust. They'll put a crust like a casserole covering broccoli. And you don't see the broccoli. You see the crust. And you don't know until you get down in there. And I've gone through the line. I said, what is this? To my wife, she said, I don't know. But I know what you're up to. And people cover that up, and it looks, oh, that looks like a good crust. But you see, it's got two parts. There's an inside, too. Well, both have to be good. I don't mind the form, but The inside has to be good. And God has made things that way. There's a part that is seen and there's a part that is not seen. If you can't get your remote control to work, it looks like a remote control. It's still got all the buttons, but the battery's dead. You got to change the battery. You don't see the battery. It's all covered up in the back. Once you put that on, then it works. And then the form matters. Then you know the form works. God has made us body and spirit. We have a material part, we have an immaterial part. And our bodies, because of the fall, are decaying. Have you noticed that at all? Jervy mentioned it already this morning. You can't work as many hours anymore. Our bodies are decaying because of the fall. And we have a body and a spirit. Our spirit can be strong. Our spirit can still be strengthened. Our spirit doesn't have to fade away. It can get better. But the body decays. But we don't ditch bodies when we die. We get a better body. So the body is still the way we're going to be. We're going to have a glorified body as a believer. Unbelievers have a body that we're told burns forever. It eternally dissolves in flame, but never goes away. But the body manifests what's inside. That is going to continue. And the nature of our spiritual body is spoken of in 1 Corinthians 15. If you want to turn there to verse 42, 1 Corinthians 15. We normally think of this in regard to resurrection. And this is the resurrection chapter. But it speaks about our bodies, the believer's body, after resurrection. Verse 42 says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body, it is raised an imperishable body. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there's a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. So also it is written that the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. As is the earthly, so also are those who are... Or the first man, I'm sorry, I skipped it. The first man is from the earth, earthly. The second man is from heaven. As is the earthly, so also are those who are earthy. And as the heavenly, also those who are heavenly. Just as we have borne the image of the earthly, we also bear the image of the heavenly. Now I say that this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. That's talking about our bodies as a believer when we're raised. It says it goes from perishable to imperishable. We don't get old anymore. It stays the same. I'm assuming that means your hair doesn't fall out, too. You don't have sore muscles. You don't break bones. You never lose the ability that you have on this very moment. At any time, it's imperishable. It goes from dishonor, which we have a lot in this world, to honor. From weakness to power. From natural to spiritual. It bears the image of the heavenly. There's several verses there that speak about we're like Adam, earthly, and we'll be like Jesus, spiritually. We follow Adam that way, earthly. We follow Jesus, spiritually, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Perishable can't inherit the imperishable. We can't go to a place with eternal life and die. You can't go where there's no death and die or have a perishable body. And believers are changed in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet, and we'll be changed. That's how we're made. We have those two parts. Now this verse speaks of a form of godliness. And the problem with that is not the form. It's the substance. Form refers to the outward shape or appearance of something. If a person is pretty, outward form is pretty. They may be the devil inside, but the outward form is pretty. The genuineness of the form is determined by what is inside. I believe within 5 minutes, if I'm on my computer, I can print out a medical degree for me, a surgery degree, and then I can operate if you have a problem. I can operate on you, right? All I need is a degree, but I'll even hang it up on the wall. Okay, 10 minutes. Give me 10 minutes to find a frame. Hang it up on the wall. Well, you know, there are doctors who have become doctors that way. They found a medical degree online and printed it out and put it up and next. But what makes a doctor is what he knows inside, what his skills are inside, what he's been taught. Not the outside. The devil, we're told in 2 Corinthians 11, makes himself into an angel of light. Paul's talking about false prophets who are deceitful workers. And he says to the devil, no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. So this outer thing, the shell, the devil's onto that. The super apostles who were following the devil's desires flaunted their spirituality and their knowledge and looked like they were apostles of Christ. They were pretending to be Christians. The Pharisees in Matthew 23 are called whitewashed tombs. They were dead inside and they looked nice outside. They were painted on the outside and rotten on the inside. And Jesus' advice to them was to clean the inside and then the outside would look okay. Start with the inside. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but the inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the dish, so that the outside of it may become clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. So you too outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. This form is shallow veneer, unless there's substance. And what we are from the inside first in the sight of God. God looks at that. We're told that we're to guard our hearts with all diligence, for out of the issues of life, Proverbs 4:23. And Jesus said, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You're not offended by what comes on the outside in, but what's on the inside that comes out. And so you got to be something on the inside. And you can't cover it up to God with a form. And yet what do we see in this group? They have a form of godliness. Who do they fool with that? Not God, but people. One of the most common forms of godliness that might be only form would be religion. A person has a religion, they must be okay. You ever say that? Oh, they're a religious person. They might be a religious person and getting ready to go out into the woods and do a voodoo ceremony. That's a religion. A church membership is a big thing. Southern Baptists have a lot of people who adopt the form of godliness by becoming a church member, and then that is it. They don't serve. They don't have gifts. They don't use gifts. You might not ever see them again. That's a form. Good deeds. Good deeds are good. But people cover the inside with good deeds. Outward morality. A lot of people say, I'm not doing this or that. I hold to this and this, and so they must be okay. We find a lot of people, their form is highlighted at their funeral. The preacher tells that they're good and all this, and they've done all these good things. And a lot of people there who knew the guy didn't wonder if they're at the right funeral. Some form is just that you are better than others. None of that matters to God. Form is outer. If you got to enter with it, great. We all, men I guess, right now, you know, we have a form in our back pocket. I got a form here. You know what would be good? If it was full. I don't think it is. I got a 10 spot in there. You know, this looks the same if there's a dollar in it, or if there's, I don't know how many $1,000 you can get into a wallet. Whatever you can stuff in there, it looks pretty much the same. And don't even get me started on women's pocketbooks. My goodness. Stuff you can get in that. But the outside is not the story. The inside is the story. And so these people parade righteousness on the outside, and the problem is that they trick people. If you turn on the TV, you've got a bunch of people look good. They've kept their hair. It's all full, and they're healthy, and they're happy, and they're prosperous. And they tell you that you can be that way. All you got to do to be that way is to divest yourself of all that stuff in your wallet and send it to me, and you'll be good like me. And you know what happens? People go, well, that sounds like a good idea. And they send the money because they're fooled. And that's the problem. When we put our trust and hope and lean on people that will let us down because they're not really solid on the inside. Finally, the power of godliness and how it's denied. When the Bible says a form of godliness without the power, it means it's just a form. It's just on the outside. You can count on the way home today how many cars you see along the side and yards that you bet won't start. Just a form. First car I was given by my dad was a Volkswagen that sat out beside the house. I never drove it one inch because it never worked. My dad had wrecked it and dragged it in the yard, and there it was. I used to sit in it and didn't even need a license because it never worked. It's a shell. And that's a form of godliness. It's a shell. You can't benefit anybody. You can't say, well, I'm a Christian. A lot of people are Christians. A lot of people claim to be Christians. They have nothing inside. Can you help me with this biblical problem? Is that in the Bible? They don't know it. And if you lean on that, you're going to be disappointed. Man focuses on the outside, both for themselves and for others. They judge how they are by how they look on the outside, if they do this or that. That's why people picked Saul as their first king. He was head and shoulders above everybody else. Inside, he was a mess. And when Samuel was going to get his replacement, he saw Jesse's son Eliab, and he said, that's got to be the next king. And the Lord said, nope. The Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. That's how David got to be king. Because the Lord looked at the heart. The Pharisees love the approval of men, so they look good on the outside. They didn't bother. Jesus taught them. Jesus preached to them. Jesus corrected them. They never accepted it because the outside was good. So a person gets hardened. If you don't have a soft heart and your heart is not empowered by God, then it gets hard. You don't listen. The devil wants to destroy the unsuspecting, so he looks like a lamb. You want to make some money this Christmas? Dress up like Santa Claus, go down the chimneys and rob the house. People go, Santa's here. That's not Santa. That is a robber. The Lord looks at the heart. The power of a godly life starts in the heart. And when God saves us, he gives us a new heart when we're born again. And denying the power of it means you are weak. And weakness is a perfect description for people without truly the power of God to save them. Because we're saved by the power of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The Holy Spirit causes us to be born again. That is power. It's an actual transformation. But those with just a form lack depth. They may know all the words. A lot of cults use the same words that the Bible uses. But they'll not stand in the judgment, and they will not stand in persecution. They are tossed about by every wind of doctrine, the trickery of men. A weak person is easy to be knocked around. And a fake Christian will get knocked around. They cannot persevere in faithfulness. That's why we have the expensive stuff. Like, I've never had, these real expensive watches, Rolex. There is a Molex watch. Somebody made a Molex. Well, it's all the same except for one letter. It looks a lot the same. It's a knockoff. Knockoffs are, by definition, more likely to knock off. They're not going to work like the real thing. And a fake cannot persevere, cannot go through life, and doesn't have the inner strength that Christians have. They produce only natural fruit. They're slaves of illicit desires. And they end up hurting those who put their trust in them. Politicians are a prime example. They run on image and promises and then do whatever their character is when they get in power. And people make fake resumes to get hired. Well, you got to be able to do the job. The Bible says here in verse 5, finally, keep away from these people. I don't think it's saying get off the planet or push away and not be in the world. It doesn't say that. But you've got to stay away from thinking they're something to depend upon. You can't lean on them. You can't put your trust in them. You can't move according to what they end up doing. You gotta be firm in yourself. This is what we're warned about in verse 1. That difficult times come, and we should be aware of that, so that we don't put our trust in something that's going to let us down and cause us to stumble. So it's form and substance in the eyes of God. Now, I don't mind form. I don't mind a pretty computer. A pretty computer with neon lights. Nice shiny case. I can do that. But it better have a CPU inside that has 8 cores. It better have a 1500 watts power supply. And a video card that just screams. That 64 gig of RAM would work. USB 3 ports. Then put the neon in. I'll take the neon after you get the other stuff in. Otherwise, it's a case. Beware of those who will fill your life up with empty fluff. Plenty of that around today. People are being brainwashed left and right. And we're responsible. We are responsible to guard our hearts with all diligence. We've been given that command. People, of course, are going to try to fill it with fluff. Unthanksgiving? We have a responsibility to guard our hearts. And that's what we're warned about here, so that we have a form and godliness, not just a pretend form of godliness with no power, no Holy Spirit's work in us, no work of God inside us that produces fruit. Let's pray. Lord, you are gracious to tell us what you seek and what would make us genuine, truly believers. It's in inside, the power of the Spirit of God. To have a form of godliness and not be able to be godly, to not be able to serve, not be able to walk with God, not be able to give biblical counsel, not to be able to encourage and exhort and edify. This is just a form. I pray, Lord, we would be protected from it and also be of substance to open wide our mouths, and you will fill it with your word. In Jesus' name, amen.